Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio.
We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse
you. All righty. Welcome to TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go, the world's greatest radio. You are now in touch with The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is radio the way it should be heard. We apologize for the 7 minutes that we have not been on the air. All I'm going to say, especially for those who are familiar with the show, the usual suspects are in play, and we are efforting to make sure that you can get some calls through right now. I just tried to call the number myself, and it just didn't go that well. So we will go with what we have and do the best we can until the problem is resolved. But, yes, the usual suspects are in play, so we will go from there. Okay, let's see here. Donations are at an even $600 to go, so I want to get that in. And next Wednesday, the 18th, will be the last compensatory concept show of the year. So keep, keep that in mind. Okay, today we're going to introduce a topic from one of our Gmailers, and it's entitled "Those Who Need the Most Help," and we'll get further into that. Let me introduce to some and present to others Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., who is on the line from live from Washington D.C. And Mr. Fuller, as usual, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay, at least at any end, you're coming in pretty good. Okay, let me go right to the Gmails, because I do believe, unless something happens, that the phone calls are going to be limited if we get any at all. But it's not the callers that are doing that. I think somebody else is doing that. Anyway, this person by the name of WG said this: "Hello, Mr. Fuller, Mr. Bobby. I truly appreciate the efforts you and Mr. Fuller put forth each week to make sure listeners are sharp with their codified behaviors. I concur with a previous caller in that the code book be made into a PDF for the masses to be able to use compensatory logic and have the code book in their cell phone devices. Mr. Fuller can still get paid with this method. Also consider auto booking it for those who cannot read. This is a way for potential readers to listen to the book read aloud by Mr. Fuller. My question is, Mr. Fuller, is I have listened to Mr. Fuller say time and time again to help those who need the most, and he has given example who need help the most, and he has given examples of who the most is. He has mentioned physical attributes such as handicap or someone who is in an ambulance need priority care over regular drivers. Mr. Fuller, does this mean that we should always start the measurement of, quote, most help, end of quote, with those who are physically incapable?" And does this mean that physically incapable non-white people are the group of people who are in need of the most help? That's two questions. Is this measurement of those who need most help modeled from Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but from a white supremacy reality? So let's go to the first question. Does this mean that we should always start the measurement of, quote, the most help, end of quote, with those who are physically incapable?
Not necessarily. If the person that needs the most help is the person that needs the most help, but it depends on the circumstances of each individual. See, I'm talking about a daily thing, a moment-by-moment thing, wherever you happen to be. I'm not speaking broadly, because speaking broadly would be too broad. I'm talking about the essence of justice is that you help the person that needs the most constructive help at the time that they need it. And that's just on a daily basis. That's the way the entire world should run. And wherever each individual happens to be, whomever needs the most help, it might be yourself, starting with yourself. You will always have to start with yourself, because if you're not in position to help yourself, you're not in position to help anybody else. And I'll give a added illustration for that. Say you are the person who is in the boat with someone, two people in a boat. The boat turns over. Now, in order for you, if you are the strongest person and the other person has problems swimming, or the other person is kind of under the strength, has less strength than what you have, then you give that person the most help that you can possibly give that person. But in the case of that person being an expert swimmer, and you are not, then you probably will need the most help. So that's just the way that works. Mm-hmm. Whomever, whatever, just incident by incident, that's what you go by. That's the criteria. Now, not every situation will be that simple to figure out who needs the most help. But you always, your mind should immediately go to who needs the most constructive help at this particular moment. And that's just help with simple things, not necessarily what you might call an emergency or crisis, what we call, quote-unquote, a crisis. But it means just every day you work in an office building, and there's a lady down the hall who seems to be struggling with her workload. And everybody's talking about, well, she's holding up the line here. I mean, and she's messing with everybody else's work and whatnot. It seems to be a problem with Sarah, whatever her name might be. So you look into that. You're a person in a quote-unquote supervisory position, or just a person that just works with Miss Sarah. So you just see, what is the problem with Sarah? Because she's, by her not doing her part of the work, she's making it difficult for everybody else, and that's making it difficult for her. So she needs the most help in doing what she's trying to do to help the rest of us. So we all look into that. A spirit of, they call it cooperation, having everybody, you know, cooperating one with another. And that's basically it. That's in order to achieve what? This thing called justice.
Yes.
And that's, you know, and the other part is, you make sure that you don't mistreat anybody in the process of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of helping Miss Sarah, you don't mistreat someone else. I mean, someone else might even be you.
Okay. See,
but nobody's supposed to be mistreated. That's the two elements of justice.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteeing that no one is mistreated, and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help.
Okay.
That will be the compensatory ideal way for the entire world.
Okay.
That's the whole point for replacing the system of racism, which is designed intentionally to harm people, and the guarantee that the people who need help the most are not going to get it.
Okay.
That's what the system of racism does.
Okay. Now, you brought it up, which is proper, that we're speaking about, and these are your words, the essence of justice. Now, WG brought it down to a physical level. And let's see, his second question was, does this mean that physically incapable non-white people are the group of people who are in need of the most help? Your answer would be?
Yes. Non-white people are under the system of white supremacy. So if you're under the system of white supremacy, you are incapacitated. We call it being held back. Excuse me.
Yes.
Being held down, being kept out. So therefore, people who are in this position need the most help. So that's just the logic of it. That's the whole purpose of getting rid of racism. If racism was some type of mysterious political system that guaranteed that everybody who needed help got it and guaranteed that nobody's mistreated, why be against racism? That would just be a word that would mean that everybody's on the same, you know, everybody is as they should be. People are treating each other the way that people should be treated. If that was the definition of racism, then we would all embrace racism. But that's not what racism is for. Racism is about guaranteeing that a whole bunch of people are going to be mistreated and that huge numbers of people who need help are definitely not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what racism is about. That's why it needs to be replaced with a system called justice.
Okay.
The words don't mean anything until you give them definitions. And we found that, you know, racism, the way that it has been characterized, some people say that racism is a fine thing. It's a good thing. I mean, you have order when you have racism.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can point out, and there's an argument that can be made for it or an explanation, racism can accomplish a lot, which it does. Racism has accomplished a lot in the way of material things. You might have a discussion or an argument saying it's accomplished more than any other system of government as far as material things are concerned, achieving material things, putting things in place, discoveries and all of this type of thing, scientific discoveries, finding out how to get things done. You can get a lot of things done through the process of racism, which is mistreating people and dominating people on the basis of color. You can get a lot of things done. So looking at it from that perspective, okay, well, we need scientific achievements and all like that. We need someone, I mean, you know, to whip people in line and make them sure that they're all in line with that. Say, but what is the downside of it? The downside of that is, you destroy people in the process of acquiring material things.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people are destroyed, not just in the process of trying to get it done. I mean, you know, and the things that they are dealing with are difficult to do, but it's designed to deliberately destroy people, destroy their minds, destroy their bodies, in order to achieve material things. And in order for people to, a category of people called white people, to feel good about themselves. That's a way of feeling good. This is a want. It feels that need for glory. So white people are taught, if you want glory, one excellent way of getting it is through the process of practicing racism. And you get a lot of glory. You get a lot of chances to feel good about yourself by mistreating somebody else. And so that's what the essence of racism is about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. TalkTimeRadio.com is a 24/7, no charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, here's a few that I'm going to share with you. Stairway to Heaven, Conversation with Don Corina, and On the Move with Sports Celts. Now, all these shows are exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com, and all you have to do is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage and see the updated version of the shows that TalkTainment Radio carries. If you would like, give the show a listen. We call that sampling in the business. See if you like it or if you don't. All this from TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. And today's subject is those that need the most help. And the last 20 minutes or 15 minutes or so, Mr. Fuller has given an example of that from a question that was from our Gmailers. Keep in mind, if you are listening to this program and you are trying to call in, we are efforting to make it so that you can call in. Those familiar with the show understand that the usual suspects are in play, and we are working feverishly to get it so that we can get the calls through. Okay, let's continue with this question. The third question in his trilogy of question, Mr. Fuller, is, he says this, is this measurement of those who need the most help modeled from Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but from a white supremacy reality?
Oh, I don't know about
Maslow?
No, I don't know anything about him. I just say that the concept that I came up with, the definition, was just based on logic, because everything that should be the way that it ought to be comes through the process of figuring out through logic. And what is logic? Logic is about finding out how things work best.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And try to, and you divide everything into results. And the results is going to be something that is constructive or something that is non-constructive. That's the logic. And everybody on the planet should be thinking in terms, when you wake up in the morning and go to bed at night, what is the most constructive thing that you can do with the circumstances that you're in?
Okay.
Well, always go for the most constructive thing.
Okay.
I pick up the papers every morning, and I look and I read, you know, whatever is being presented to me. Somebody robbed somebody and whatnot. So immediately my mind goes to, well, somebody got robbed on the street and got shot in the process. Is that constructive? Is that the most constructive way to go about acquiring things, by killing someone and snatching a purse or something and running with it down the street and then going hide behind some bushes? Or in the case of something I saw this morning, somebody was doing something. They shot a law enforcement officer. I don't know the details about all that. And it was a great neighborhood shootout, you might say.
Yes, I saw that. Yes.
Yes. And in a place called New Jersey.
Yes.
And what the details of all that was about, I tend to believe that whatever was going on was not the most constructive thing that a person could do.
Yes.
See, something non-constructive was going on there. I mean, you know, I don't know the details, but it looks like, from the results, several people dead, about six people, I think.
I think that's correct.
Yes, from the results, there was some non-constructive activity that started that.
Yes.
I would just guess. That's just my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could have been constructive, but I don't think so.
Yes, in Jersey City, New Jersey.
The results were definitely not constructive.
Right.
Of whatever was going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was not worth it. Whatever was happening, it was not worth it.
Yes.
On account of the results. It was definitely not worth it. It seems like whatever was happening, someone could have gone about doing it in a different way.
Yes.
And achieved a more constructive outcome.
Yes, this was over in, I believe the news said, Jersey City, New Jersey, where this, what you're talking about, took place in lives.
I saw something on television about that, too. I mean, it looked like there was a lot of gunshots.
A lot. You know,
pop, 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 pop all over the place. Now, is that constructive? Is that what you've called the most constructive activity that you can have in a quote-unquote Mr. Rogers neighborhood? I mean, I don't think so.
Right.
See, but like I said, the main point that I'm making, we want a world where everything that is done has a constructive result.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a new concept. It's a very old concept. But I'm just saying we've got to figure out a way to get there and get there in quickly.
Yes.
We shouldn't draw this out, I mean, for another umpteenth number of centuries, thousands of years. I mean, there's nothing in recorded history where you have a system of justice anywhere on the planet. Nothing in recorded history. So we actually should be trying to achieve something that has never been done in recorded history.
Okay.
And that's a world dominated by justice.
Yes. Now, for those who wanted to know who Abraham Maslow was, and Mr. Fuller indicated that he's not familiar with him or his works. He was an American psychologist, Mr. Fuller, who was best known for creating Maslow's hierarchy of needs, a theory of psychological health predicated on fulfilling innate human needs in priority, culminating in self-actualization. I've heard of him before, Abraham Maslow. Okay, WG, Mr. Fuller did answer your question, and I hope that you got the answer that you wanted. Mr. Fuller, this question, and keep in mind, we're doing Gmails right now because of issues that we are having with the phone lines. Those familiar with the show know that the usual suspects are in play. They actually were in play last night, but we, anyway. This comes from a brother from the concept called New Guinea, or French New Guinea. He says, can Mr. Fuller give us, now they're asking for your opinion, Mr. Fuller. He said, can Mr. Fuller give us opinion about the Miss Universe 2019 issues as a lot of non-white people bragging about it due to the fact that she is non-white?
The question is, she's
well, they're speaking about it because Miss Universe happened to be, was voted as whatever Miss Universe, whatever that does. She was voted as the most what is it, most beautiful or recognized or something like that? Anyway, the point is she was non-white. Up until now, I think they were all white, and this one is the first one that was non-white.
The first non-white Miss Universe?
Yes.
Well, from what I saw, I glanced at that program while it was on television, and from what I saw an indirect glorification of white supremacy. That's how I interpreted that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the people who were the so-called quote-unquote contestants, I don't think they look like the average person of where they came from. Now, that's not all of them. That's not maybe most of them.
Mm-hmm.
But in looking at that, it looked like I would make a summation that the Miss Universe pageant contest, or whatever they call it, was a direct or indirect glorification of white supremacy. because of the appearance of the people who were in the presentation. You know, they went by so-called nationality. Many of the people, regardless of nationality, appeared to be white.
Okay.
To me. They appeared to be classified, you know, as white people in places where, and many of them came from places where huge numbers of the people in those places, what I, from the information that I have, don't look like the people who were presented as representative of the quote-unquote nationalities that they quote-unquote represented. A representation, an average, you might say. Or, if you want to look at it from another perspective, the best-looking people. So, are we saying the best-looking people are people who, first of all, look like they are, quote-unquote, white people? In regardless of where they come from, Bangladesh, India, Brazil, Uruguay, Argentina, what are we talking about here? Nigeria? Now, I think that there was a lady from Nigeria that kind of looked like someone that I would expect to see from representative of Nigeria, of the place that they call Nigeria. I think she was one of the few. Now, there's serious questions about a lot of the rest, if I recall correctly. I'm here. Yes, just at a glance. Now, I could have it all incorrect, and somebody can correct me if they say, well, no. I mean, these people are very, 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 very representative of the average person that would really stand out, qualified to be labeled as Miss Universe. Of course, according to the code, we don't have universal people, period. We don't have anybody who's qualified to be called universal man or universal woman according to the code, because we're not talking about just appearances in bathing suits. I mean, that's no criteria at all. We're talking about all types of characteristics that you have to qualify for that, and that's something futuristic.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicken online.
That's KRC-KIN.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% Black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Stand by for an important announcement for renters and investors.
You have probably heard about this bad economy and high foreclosure rate. I'm here to bring you hope. Every foreclosed property is a blessing or a deal for a new buyer or investor. These properties are selling every day all over Central Ohio for several reasons. They are equity rich, worth tens of thousands of dollars above their price. There is down payment money available and remodeling funds if needed. Don't let the doom and gloom news keep you from your dream of home ownership. Call Linco Realty today at 865-9614. That's 865-9614. Call now. Always remember, these times, like all times, are good times if we but know what to do with them. They also have programs for investors who want to get off the couch and run with the big dogs. Call Linco today at 865-9614 or log on to repohomeslist.com.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals, or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Sex Code War by Kahari and Aharo, the author of the Essence Magazine bestseller, Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on talktainmentradio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
We go where you go. Just download the talktainmentradio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. And our subject today is those that need the most help. As you are aware, for those of you who have been at the top of the show, we are having issues with our phone lines. And yes, the usual suspects are in play big time. So right now, you cannot get a call through, and we are efforting to do that even as we speak. They are working on that. But we do have a bundle of Gmails, and so we will get to the Gmails. And you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. You can also view the program if you go to the YouTube channel and type in Talktainment, and then Talktainment number 2, scroll down to radio, scroll down and then type in the word radio, and you are there. You can also, and we would prefer it, that you go to the TalktainmentRadio.com homepage and just hit listen live, and you're right there. And finally, Facebook.com/Talktainment are the ways you can get it. Normally at this time I would give you the phone number, but you can't get in right now. But anyway, we will go on. Pardon me with my voice. It's this time of year where a lot of different kind of things are happening there. I even heard Mr. Fuller clear his voice, so maybe it's over there too. Okay. Anyway, let's do this. This comes from Franklin, and he says this, Mr. Fuller, he was speaking about a recent show and that he much loved it and that he equated some of the stuff that people were saying or white supremacy with Satanism. He said, that is how I view Mr. Fuller's words ever since I found you guys, and I love it. Mr. Fuller, I have a question. Mr. Fuller, are you familiar with the Bilderberg meetings, Davos, D-A-V-O-S, and the New World Order? If people would equate those meetings with white supremacy and how they are furthering their agenda at those meetings, I believe people will understand the code more deeply. Mr. Fuller, what are your thoughts on that?
What meeting?
I guess with the Bilderberg meetings, the Bilderberg group, maybe the CFR Council on Foreign Relations. I never heard of Davos. But I have heard of the New World Order, where a group of people get together and have meetings on how they're going to direct the world. He was just saying, if people would equate those meetings with white supremacy and how they're furthering their agenda, the agenda of white supremacy at those meetings, he says that I believe people will understand the code more deeply. Thanks. What is your opinion on that, Mr. Fuller?
Well, I'm not familiar with the details of those meetings, but according to compensatory counter-racist logic, and we're in a system of white supremacy. That's the world government. That's already established. So anything that a white supremacist does or says is to help to give strength to the system of white supremacy. So that's just a blanket coverage right there. So it's not a head scratcher.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that a white supremacist does should be immediately suspected, or a person who is a suspected white supremacist. You should suspect that person of whatever that person is doing. It is either directly or indirectly designed intentionally to give greater strength to the system of white supremacy. That's the logic. That's just the logic that goes with the system of racism. Racists don't do anything that they think is going to damage their business. That's mm-hmm. their business. That's their a whole reason for being. A racist mentality means I'm a racist, and everything that I do is to give strength to what I am as a racist, which means dominating and mistreating people of color in order to get what? The thing that everybody wants. But this is my method of getting it. And what is it that everybody wants? All creatures want? Fun, glory, and material comfort. And a racist has decided that the way that they will get those three things, fun, glory, and material comfort, from dominating and mistreating people based on color. That's what racism is for. So in answer to the question, regardless of what form it takes, and it takes all types of forms, just keep that in mind. That way you don't get confused. You don't have to say, well, are they doing this for that, and they're doing this for the other, and what is the reason they're doing this? No, anything that a racist does in any area of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, is to give greater strength to the system of white supremacy. That's the logical assumption. Otherwise, the system of white supremacy would have gone out of business many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It would just, die from starvation, you might say. It's not being fed. So therefore, the racists have the strongest government that the world has ever seen, called the system of white supremacy. That's the name of the government. And it is maintained because the white supremacists are very serious about the business of white supremacy. They devote full time. They don't let up.
Okay. All righty. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's your radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. And our subject today is those that need the most help. I know I need help all the time, but Mr. Fuller talked about it, particularly with this term, the essence of justice, which I will have him re-explain to those who are just tuning in. Yes, we are having issues with our phone line, so you cannot call right now. The efforts are still going on. But it is at this time, which to me is the most important time of the program, where we have Mr. Fuller talk about the code book. Listen to what he has to say and then purchase the code book. Mr. Fuller, go ahead, please.
Yes. You can get the book by going to producejustice.com. Producejustice.com. And I just like to say this. This is something I was looking through the book this morning and whatnot. And some people have said that the 1984 edition is a better written book than the 2016 revised expanded edition. And that could be in some people's opinion and whatnot. It might be a minority opinion, but it is an opinion that should be considered. But I see where the revised expanded edition has a lot more in it. The book is written for the individual victim of racism. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't like to think of myself as a victim of racism. Well, racism does have victims. And a lot of people who consider themselves the victims of a car wreck will say it without even thinking about it twice. They'll say, were you a victim of a car wreck? I mean, you were parked there on the car and you just sitting there on the parking lot, and your car wasn't moving, and all of a sudden, this person who was texting just happens to be coming onto the parking lot, and because they were texting, they ran right into your car while you were parked. So when the officers got there to find out what happened, they say, well, now, who's the victim here? So a person has no problem saying, I'm the victim. And this is the person who they were texting or doing something. They weren't paying attention to what they were doing because I was parked. My car wasn't moving. And they ran. They broadsided me on the driver's side. And luckily, I didn't get injured and whatnot, but here's the big dent in my car. So a person will say, I'm the victim. But it seems to be a lot of controversy when it comes to non-white people saying, I'm the victim of racism. They say, oh, don't say that. Ah, you know, there you go with that victimization thing. But victims of a robbery, victims of rape, they have no problem with that. Victims of someone who was a drunken driver, maybe, that destroyed your vehicle and probably some other people who were killed, maybe. Somebody was victimized, victim of a burglary, all kinds of victims. Victims, 9/11 victims. Oh, big-time victims. Okay, buildings coming down after planes crash into them. People have no problem saying these people were victimized. They were victimized. They were just there minding their own business and doing what they were doing. And all of a sudden, I mean, somebody made a victim out of them. Well, this textbook is written for victims of white supremacy. And I see no reason to apologize for naming it that. Is textbook workbook for victims of white supremacy. White supremacy has victims. Otherwise, it would be a great thing if white supremacy didn't have victims, if nobody was being victimized. Slavery has victims, a victim of slavery. People have no problems with that. So you get the book by going to producejustice.com. And it's directed to the individual person who is a victim of racism about what to do about it on a daily basis. That's what the book is about. Not just about what the problem is. There are tons and tons of books talking about what the problem is. In fact, in my own opinion, I say that every book that's written from now on should be about what to do about the problem and what an individual can do. We need more books. More, tons of them, if necessary, about what to do each and every minute, about every situation that comes up. That's what we need more of. We already have books that tell about the problems, and these books are needed. They should be read about analyzing the problem, why we have it, and all this, the history of it. But go to producejustice.com. Now, I'd like to say this, too. I described the United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept textbook as one of the best of the very worst poorly written books for counter-racist thought, speech, and action ever produced. Now, that's my own evaluation of my own book.
Why?
I think that my book is poorly written because it's not explicit enough. In simple language, I think I could have made it with a very concentrated effort. I should have concentrated. I should have focused on simplicity. Simplicity, straight to the point, third grade language. And I didn't do that. So I rate my own book as being poorly written. But it is one of the best of the poorly written books, in my opinion. But that's given an objective analysis of my own work.
Okay.
But I do say that people ought to buy it in a compensatory way, simply because there's not a whole lot of books out here to tell you what to do about anything. And all books that black people write now should be not, you know, how many words you can use and how, you know, how you sound when you repeat what was being written and whatnot. Hey, it's about the mechanics. What do you do about stuff? Get it done. What do you do about a problem that you have right this minute and you don't want a whole lot of ceremony about it? You want this problem resolved right now, right now. Not next week, not tomorrow and whatnot. You got this problem right now, and you don't want a whole lot of flowery speeches about this, that, and the other. You just want to solve this problem right now. You're hurting right now. And black people all over the world, non-white people all over the world, people of color all over the world are hurting right this minute. They want instant solutions, and that's what everybody should be concentrating on, everybody who's sitting down to write anything. right now should be saying, hey, I'm about problem solving. I mean, and in record time, I'm not talking about some long, drawn-out struggle. We have used these terms too long, and it's gotten in the way of people doing anything or getting anything done.
Mm-hmm.
And just wearing kente cloth and putting on some sandals, that was nice inspiration from the 1960s. We're going into the year 2020. Everything should be about, hey, we want to solve this in the next 5 minutes. Whatever problem comes up. Can you solve this problem in 5 minutes? Hmm. Everybody should be shooting for that goal or less. 5 minutes or less. But whatever problem comes up, directly, indirectly, associated with the race problem or any other problem, okay. Black people should be known to be people who are about problem solving rather than problem making.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And go to producejustice.com.
Okay. Just got an update on our situation concerning the usual suspects. A technician or technicians are coming out, and they're going to work on the problem. So that means that you cannot get any, we cannot receive any phone calls. We don't know what happened. This is their expertise, so they will do what they do with that to get that up.
Need that problem solved.
Yeah, solve that problem, yes. But we will, if you choose to Gmail me, you can. The numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. One person already has, but Mr. Fuller answered his question. But if you would like to get in contact with the show, that's why. That's how you can do that today. The phone is not going to work today. So we will continue to read Gmails. And if you do Gmail me, I will read it from the top. I won't put it in the, or they won't put it in the pile for me. But that's part of the thing. The show must go on, and people want to hear this show, Mr. Fuller. I don't think people will agree with you on your estimation of your assessment of your book, because I hear people, at least in my circle, speaking about it, and they appear to be hungry. But not only here, but the brothers and sisters in South Africa, they are so pleased to get the book, and open up. The brother in Denmark, I believe, or the brother in Spain, Aaron in Spain. How many minutes? 10? Oh, okay. Thank you. 10 more minutes. Okay, we have to do that because we're working with a handicap here. People are really interested, Mr. Fuller, in getting this book and hearing what you have to, and beginning to put them into practice. This is why they have many questions, because it's new to them. Somebody is actually, and that somebody is you, addressing the problems and things what they are feeling. So, to them, at least what I get, Mr. Fuller, it is simplified, your language that you used, because nobody really has sat down and told them that. What say you to that?
Well, people can make their own evaluation. That comes under VGQ, Victims Guarantee Qualification.
Yes, yes.
The people who say that, they're qualified to say it. But in evaluating my own book, I'm qualified to say that, well, it could be a whole lot better than it was written, the way that it was written. More direct. I have a roundabout way of saying some things and whatnot.
You mean through example, you mean?
Well,
that you give?
I could, but that, I could have given better examples, too, and not, I couldn't crowd enough examples in, maybe. And maybe there were some things that needed more explanation than other things. But I did the best that I could with the time that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And, at that time, because I was trying to rush, particularly with the revised expanded edition,
mm-hmm.
and because I wanted to get that out.
Okay.
I want to have, you know, I never know how long I'm going to be here.
Okay.
So none of us do.
Here's a question that comes up all the time is, of course, I don't have the answer to that. Only you could answer that. But I'm often approached with this question. Well, why didn't Mr. Fuller speak about health as being one of the nine people activities?
because a lot of people have asked that question. And I just didn't think of it for one thing, because I thought that maybe if I covered the nine areas that I presented, that if we were healthy, you know, healthy in economics, healthy, you know, economics, that mostly I would put health under economics. What is economics? The use of time and energy. Well, those are the two things that all of us have. We have time and we have energy. Now, your energy comes from your health conditions. So, therefore, you pay attention to everything, eating and sleeping correctly and only as necessary. That within itself goes a long ways. That's one of the four things that you use your time and energy for, according to the textbook itself. Use of time and energy. That's on page 60 of the revised expanded edition. And one of the things that's in there is eating and sleeping correctly and only as necessary. Now, just on that alone.
Yes, I see.
A lot of people don't have that problem throughout the world. I mean, places we call Africa. I mean, having enough food is a huge problem in most parts of the world. But in the Northwestern Hemisphere, many black people have access to what is called food, but it's artificial food. It's not really food. It's imitation food. And that's why we're in such sorry condition when it comes to health. We eat a lot, but we're eating a lot of plastic. We're not eating real food. And they call them in what we call, quote, black neighborhoods, they call them what? Food deserts.
Yeah, food deserts, yes.
Many of them, right. Mm-hmm. You can't find any. Everything is made out of paper and plastic.
Yes.
Sprinkle a whole lot of sugar on some paper and call it food. Put a whole lot of goo and whatnot, sugared glue, salty glue, around a whole bunch of plastic and paper in a ball, and then eat it, and call it food. And that's under the system of white supremacy, that's what's being done. So that's, you know, that's not going to give you much energy with the time that you have. And so we all leave here sooner than we should on account of that.
And then that fourth thing there, engaging in sexual intercourse, no more than two or three times every 7 days?
Every 7 days. Now, that's going to crimp a whole lot of people's style, you might say, because a lot of us, out of desperation for wanting to have, well, glory and fun. Sex is a lot of fun, and you can get some glory out of it. I mean, many black males feel like that helps to prove their manhood. How many females they can have sexual intercourse with. So that needs to be limited. And the reason is because it comes under time and energy. When you're having marathon sex, that means you're not doing other things that would be of more constructive value. And marathon sex usually leads to a whole lot of things that are non-constructive and a whole lot of dissatisfied people in the end. So if you limit that sexual activity, sexual intercourse, to twice every 7 days, that means that the rest of the time you're doing something else. Now, the something else that you're supposed to be doing is supposed to be of more constructive value than marathon sex.
Yes.
I mean, just one sex partner right after another and staying in a bed having sexual intercourse as many times as you possibly can, endlessly, day after day, and missing doing what? Sometimes going to work so that you will have a bed that you're not going to be put out of. That bed is going to be on the street. Couldn't be no better than that.
All right, Mr. Fuller, got to cut that one right there. Talk to him at radio.com, the world's greatest radio, radio the way it should be heard. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the second hour of the compensatory concept here on talktohimatradio.com.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why. One should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.